will take over. Ah, JJ, you're a legend. Thank you. I have about 30 pairs of these glasses. And I paid $10 for them at Woolworths. And Trish thinks I'm a spendthrift because she just pays $2 for her glasses. And unfortunately, they're the same glasses. So we do occasionally share. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. People like me, and they do exist. I am not the only one. Scary though the thought might be, are really, really reluctant to preach on this verse. Because it gets just a little bit overused. I mean, it's got to be probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. Possibly behind, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or, my God will provide all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's one of those promises that gets pulled out fairly frequently. Some people think a little bit too much. Some people think this was actually the only verse that there was in Jeremiah, and all the rest was just added later. So to make myself feel a little bit better, so that I can live with myself and sleep tonight, you get a history lesson to start off with. End of the book of Kings. The Babylonians invade Judah and destroy Jerusalem and destroy the temple. The vast bulk of the population of Judah are taken away into exile in Babylon. It is hard to understate the effect that this had on them. Their city and their temple totally destroyed. Their houses and their accumulated wealth over the years gone. Many of them had watched their families and their friends and their children killed before their eyes. All that they had hoped for and everything that they had believed in totally destroyed. They are marched 1,500 kilometers to maybe 3 months to a new country. A country whose language they didn't understand. Lower than refugees. Taking the very bottom place in society. And it must have felt for many of them like they were back in slavery in Egypt where they started out. It must have felt for them like their world had come to an end. It must have felt for them like God had abandoned them. And it is against that background of total loss and total despair that Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And the contrast between what Jeremiah promises them and the situation that they were in really could not have been greater. Let's read the whole passage. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Please check it on your phones or on your real Bibles. If you do it on your phones, it's great because you can check Facebook while you're doing it. And if I catch you. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. Settle down, plant gardens. It's scriptural to plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may too have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I carry you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams they're encouraging you to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And you will call on me and will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations where I have placed you and banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So what were the plans that God had for this people? Well, the first plan was that they would be in exile in Babylon for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, God would bring them back. They would rebuild the temple, and the land again would be restored. In reality, only a small number of them did ever go back. The rest of them stayed in Babylon and actually spread across the world. The second plan that God had for them was that they settle down and build houses, that they plant gardens, that they marry, that they seek the prosperity of the city where God had placed them. This week was a neat week. On Thursday morning, we got to see Bua and Mangale get into their own house. It's scriptural, right? It's scriptural. And the media is telling young people today that you will never own your own house. The media are lying through their teeth. Okay, that's not what God has for us. And if you want to talk to me on that, because I don't have time now, talk to me afterwards and I will explain. Along with this promise that when they did this, the promise from God was that he would prosper them. But as they got on and built what they needed to build, that God would prosper them. And this message still remains for us today. The third plan that God had for them, we think of the exile as a punishment. And there's some truth in that. But God was doing more than that. God was doing a reform. He was changing the way that they did faith. So instead of a faith that was centered around the tabernacle, the temple, they end up with a faith that's centered around the synagogue, local body of believers, meeting together. Instead of priests, they invented rabbis. And instead of sacrifices, they used scripture and prayer and reading. At the same time, they would have done the sacrifices. And instead of being a culture all of their own, they learned how to fit into the culture in which they lived. And they learned how to worship God within that culture. This was a remarkable change. And it was a new way of worshiping God. Now, if you think about it, you will realize that we've inherited that way of worshiping God. Because we don't do synagogues. Well, we do synagogues. We just call them churches. And we don't do rabbis. Well, we do rabbis. We just call them pastors. And the changes that God made within their faith at the time are the changes that have allowed the gospel to spread across the planet and have ultimately ended up with who we are today. So I would say, yes, God really did prosper those plans, because here we are. We've inherited them. And lastly, it doesn't stop there, because in the next chapters, Jeremiah goes on to encourage the people with what God is going to do for them. And this ends up in Jeremiah 31, and it ends up with a description of a new covenant. a new covenant that God will make with his people. The covenant that is our covenant. The covenant that speaks about the coming of the Messiah and Jesus and the life that he's bought for us. And these are the plans that God had for these people in exile. And they really did prosper. That's why only a small number of them returned. Because they did so well in Babylon, they reached the highest places in society, and they reached a status of wealth. And God really did bless them. So in an impossible situation, in a situation that seems hopeless, God stepped in. He gave promises, and he was faithful. So what we take from this verse, we can take for ourselves as well, and we can apply it to us today. Because it was written to us just as much as it was written to them. And God has plans for your life too. Good plans. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope. And plans to give you a future. And like them, most of those plans are found in what is in front of you. Houses, gardens, family. But not just physically, spiritually. Worship team, door greeter, under five alive, kids church. We need people in this church that can sing, because otherwise when I start the wrong verse, we'll go astray. And there are spiritual jobs that God has for us, and they're all right in front of us, and they're not hard to find. And sometimes God's will works for us like it did for Paul on the way to Damascus. And suddenly there's a shining light and everything in your life changes. But for most of us, it's just a question of doing what's in front of us. And that leads to something else. And that leads to something else. And that leads to something else. Because God has plans for us. And he opens up doors physically and spiritually. And all you've got to do is do what he calls you to do. There are times in your life when you have to take one of those steps and actually believe that God has plans for you. You don't know what those plans are. You can't see those plans. How could you see those plans? You might see a little bit that's in front of you. You might have an inkling. But you won't know until you start. And it requires obedience. And it's kind of a faith thing. One of the problems is that we have plans too. You have plans? Everyone has plans, right? You've got an idea of where you want to end up in 10 years' time. You've got a vision for yourself. And in Jeremiah, the people have plans too. Because they had these false prophets. And these false prophets were basically saying, look, all this is a mistake. It's all going to get sorted out. And you guys are going to be back in Jerusalem before Christmas. That was a remarkable thing to say, because Christmas wasn't going to be invented for another 400 years. So I guess it was true. They were back before Christmas. And, you know, they were pinning their hopes on this. They were pinning their hopes on the fact that this was going to be really short-lived and they were going to be back home and everything was going to continue. And Jeremiah says, no, you're going to be here 70 years. And we have plans, and God has plans. And what do you do when God's plans and your plans don't agree? I'll tell you what you do. To quote a famous politician, suck it up, buttercup. That's what you do. Only a West Aucklander could say that. We don't have the perspective that God has. All we see is here and now. And God sees the whole. And he sees the future. And I'll let you into a secret. His plans for you will always be better than your plans for yourself. Right? They will always be better. So you trust God. Most of the time, actually, our plans and his plans coincide. Because what we think are our plans are actually things that he put into our lives anyway. And our plans are actually his plans. It's a universal truth that God has plans for your life. Every single one of us. God would quite like to see you in heaven. Did you know that? He would quite like to see you in heaven, most of you. God would say all. He has plans for you. He would quite like you to have a relationship with him. He would quite like you and him to be on speaking terms, to talk together and to walk together. He'd quite like you to live a life that pleases him, that your values and his values align, with forgiveness and generosity and loving your neighbor as yourself. He'd quite like you to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. He'd quite like you to find peace and happiness and satisfaction and contentment in who he is. He has plans to prosper you. That might be an 18-meter yacht. Is that just my dream? I can't sail. 18-meter yacht. But really, his plans to prosper you is simply to make you more than you would be without him. And to make you succeed in what he calls you to do. And to make you the kind of person that other people want to hang around rather than the one that other people avoid. And the kind of person that's actually happy with who they are. Because prospering comes in many, many forms. And sometimes the most obvious forms of prospering are not the best forms. He has plans. Plans for you to be genuinely spiritual. To see the world through his eyes. To see people through his eyes. To see what others don't see. And to be someone that knows God, to have wisdom and ability in your life. God has plans for you. It's a hope, a purpose, an expectation of good, a knowledge that God is in control. It's a future of you being more than you could possibly be without him. And like Jeremiah's exiles, you have to say, yeah, I kind of want that too. Because the exiles had to buy into this. They had to say, yeah, we're going to do it. We're actually going to settle down. We're going to build houses. We're going to find God's future for ourselves. So I believe. I believe that I can. I believe that God will. So I take the first step. And then I take the next step. And then I take the next step until I find myself in the place where God wants me to be. Always true. True for Jeremiah's audience. True for us. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many wrong turns you've done. It doesn't matter how many stupid things you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. Doesn't matter how you grew up or the cards that were dealt to you, God has plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. And those plans are the same for all of us, and those plans are different for all of us. There are things that will be unique to you. Plans of places he wants you to go and things he wants you to do and gifts of the Spirit that he wants to build into your life and places that he wants you to serve. And in those things, you will prosper and God will be pleased. And yes, sometimes that means surrendering what we want for our lives. God is the master jigsaw maker. Do you make jigsaws? Any jigsawers among us? I am insanely good at jigsaw puzzles. And they stress me out. If there's a jigsaw puzzle on the table, I have to do it. My wife knows this. She puts them out and then leaves them, knowing that I will take over because I can't stop myself. I hate jigsaw puzzles for that reason. God knows exactly where to put exactly the right piece. He sees the whole. He sees the picture that we don't see because we were responsible adults and didn't look at the box. He sees the whole. And he knows exactly where you fit. He knows exactly where he can make the most of you. And for some of us, we need to stop trying to fit ourselves where we actually don't fit. Because God has plans. God knows best. Why is this verse popular? Well, it's popular because it promises good stuff. I will prosper you, give you a hope and a future. Who wouldn't want that? But we've seen from the context of this promise that it was given in the midst of despair. So this promise is officially the light at the end of the tunnel. And if you're in that tunnel right now, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is the promise that God will give you a future. But if you'll remember the context, it required that the people got on with it. That they actually did what God called them to do. They didn't just sit on their hands and mope and complain about how rotten it was in Babylon and how you couldn't get a decent falafel. They actually had to do what God called them to build the houses and to plant the gardens, to figure out what those plans were and to do them. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart and I will be found by you. And you will figure out what God has for you. And you will do it. And you will find blessing in it. And you'll realize that the last of the purposes that God has for these people is that they will know who he is. That they will seek him. That they will call on him. And he will answer them. And again, that's the same for us today. And whether you move to the left or to the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and find that all these things will be given to you as well. And you ask and it will be given to you and you seek and you will find and you knock and the door will be given, opened to you. This is not a condition to the promise. This is not an if. This is a then. This is what will happen when you take those steps and you believe that God can do in your life what he said. That was a short sermon. I was expecting a round of applause for a short sermon. I did threaten to go on strike the other day for better wages and conditions. When pastors go on strike, they preach longer sermons. That's how it works. Lord, for each one of us, you've got plans. And I pray, Lord, that we will find those plans and we will do them and we will find joy in them. And we will get on with the things that you've placed in front of us, whether those are the physical houses or the spiritual houses, the physical gardens or the spiritual gardens. And we will find in you our hope and our future, and we will find those ways to prosper that will bring joy into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.